Well, it really is a great privilege to bring God's Word this afternoon. It was a blessing to have Randy and Lauren ask me to bring the message. Randy and Lauren, God willing, will be members of the church plant that I was sent out to shepherd and minister to, Triune Grace, and we're really looking forward to them being members of that congregation. And so this sermon that I'm bringing is basically Randy's sermon with my voice. This is what Randy wants you to hear this afternoon from the Word of God, and I want to faithfully honor his request to bring what he wants me to share to you. So if you're here because you love Randy, hopefully you'll give special attention to the preaching of the Word of God as we seek to hear what God says to us in his infallible Word. And so I have 3 points for this sermon. My first point is marriage and marriage roles lightly esteemed. My second point is marriage and marriage roles highly esteemed. And my third point is John 13 and marriage. And so my first point, marriage and marriage roles lightly esteemed. It should come as no surprise to many of you in this room that marriage is not seen as a God-defined, God-instituted institution between men and women. It is very much seen as small, insignificant, devalued, as we have people cohabitating, not even caring about marriage, as we have sodomy being promoted. Marriage has come upon hard times. And so people do not see the significance, the value, the importance of what God says is very good, namely for a man to leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. But probably more than that, we see that marriage roles are lightly esteemed. To say that a man is the head of his wife, or that the wife is called to submit to her husband, or the calling that a man is to lead and govern his household, and the woman is to come alongside as his helper, is seen as tyrannical among some circles. To say that a man is the head of his wife is the same for some to say that she is in a comfortable concentration camp. That for a man to say have the authority over his wife is by some nothing less than tyranny. We see in our culture where people vilify those who merely read Ephesians chapter 5. Think about if you were on CNN and you merely read Ephesians chapter 5. 22 through the end of the chapter, verse 33, and said things like, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Or read things like, "Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be their own husbands in everything." These are very countercultural topics in our day and age. But, beloved, they are according to the Word of God. And Romans 3, verse 4 is in our Bible, and it will always be in our Bible. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And so whether the world rejects it, despises it, hates it, let God be true, and every single person a liar. And so my second point now, marriage and marriage roles lightly esteemed. If the negative is marriage and marriage roles are lightly esteemed, or I think I said that wrongly, marriage and marriage roles highly esteemed. If the negative is the world views marriage and marriage roles as tyrannical, as wrong, as abusive, let us think about how God views them. First and foremost, marriage was not ordained by mankind. There wasn't a clever man many centuries ago who said, you know what, it would be a good idea for one man and one woman to come together. God was the one who invented marriage. It was his idea. It was his prerogative. He invented it. And therefore, he gets to define it. Because God invented it, he gets to define what it is. And so when God says that the man is to lead in love and service, that is what's good. Let me say this in passing. Because God made us, he knows what is best for our life. And thereby, when he tells us to do something, God is not a cruel taskmaster. When he tells us what to do, it's because he loves us and wants what's best for our life. You might have a young child who says, "Dad, why can't I have the fire just anywhere in the house?" Because you know if he has the fire wherever he wants, it burns down the entire house. And that can be us so easily. God, why can't I do it this way? Because we think that somehow God is taking something away from us. But that could be, it could be nothing further from the truth. And so when God tells a man to lead in love and lead his wife as Christ leads and loves the church, it's good. When God says for a woman to help her husband, to respect him, to submit to his God-given authority, it's good. And now the question is, why are these things ultimately important? Why does God care so much about us following these marriage roles? Because, beloved, marriage points to the greater marriage between Christ and the church. And when a man does not love his wife, when a man does not care for his wife and nourish and cherish her, when he despises her and rejects her, what he's telling the world is this: Christ despises the church and does not love her. What he's saying to the watching world is Christ is an ungodly shepherd to his bride, the church. That's what he's telling the world. When a man does not lead in love, he is telling everyone, this is what Christ is like. And he is portraying a false picture that is sinful and ungodly. And when a woman seeks to usurp her husband's authority, come against it, buck against it, hates it, what she is telling the world is the church is disrespectful to Christ and does not submit to his authority. Are you understanding why these things are so important? Because the gospel matters. That's why marriage matters. Because when God wants to give us a picture of what his gospel is, it is a bridegroom coming to rescue a bride who could never save herself. He lived and died and rose again to save that bride, to cleanse her from her stains, to wash her, and to present that bride to himself without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so if you're here today and you are not in Christ, if what I'm saying is very foreign to you, or when I say these things, your heart leaps in anger, how could he say things like submission or headship? Then your problem is not with me, it's with Almighty God. And so you need a heart change, and the only way that that can happen is if by the grace of God, you come to repent of your sin, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, who died and rose again to save his people from their sin. So today, if you stand here without Christ, God's judgment is upon your life, and you will die and go to a real hell. And I don't want that for you. And so I plead with you that you would see your need for salvation, and by the grace of God, you will repent and believe upon Jesus Christ for your salvation. Don't look to yourself. Someone trying to be good enough to get to heaven is like someone saying, I can jump out of an airplane. As long as I flap my arms hard enough, I'll be okay. That is what it's like for someone to think their good works will save them. And we know it's futile, but beloved, blessed be God. He's provided a parachute. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we put him on by faith, we will be rescued from the wrath that is to come. Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you come out of yourself, not trusting in your arms to get you right with God, but if you put your trust in the parachute, because doesn't our Bible say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ? And so this is what you need, because marriage is ultimately a mere shadow to the greater bridegroom and greater bride, Christ and his church. And then my last point, John 13 in marriage. Many of you are familiar with John 13. If you're not, it's the passage when Jesus, in great humble submission, humble love to his disciples, does something that was so low in that culture. He takes off the disciples' shoes and he washes their feet. And he does that as a picture, as an example of what the great bridegroom of the church, the chief shepherd, what it means for him to serve and love. It means to take on tasks that seem insignificant for the good of his bride, the church. And where authority gets twisted is this way, is when authority is used for our own ego, our own desire, our own well-being, it's misused. Authority, according to the word of God, is always for the blessing and well-being and encouragement of that person. It is always serving so that the other person is built up, encouraged, strengthened, edified, and helped. That's what biblical service is. Because does not Jesus say that he himself came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many? Biblical headship is seen when a man, by the grace of God, does not say, how can I get something out of this? But how can I benefit those who are under my care? That's what we see in the John 13 text. We see that Jesus models for his disciples that if you are going to lead, it must be leading unto service. It must be leading unto service. It's not to be done, again, for our own desires, our own ego, and our own ways. But it is to be done for the glory, honor, and praise of God and for the good of that other person. That's what John 13 teaches us. And so as the world comes against God's views of marriage and marital roles, as it sees them as insignificant or at worst tyrannical, may the people of God reject the lies of feminism, reject the lies that the world says that men are just like women and women are just like men. Let us reject those false views and say God has made them different, unique for his own glory. Isn't it sad in our day if you have, and this isn't original with me, but if you have a young lady and she's thinking biblically and she says to you, you ask her, what do you want to do when you grow up? And if that young lady thinking biblically says, I would love to serve Christ with my life, for my family and for the church, I want to serve Christ, but I would love, if God has it for me, to be a wife, mother, and a homemaker. And why is it so sad that some people can look her right in the eye and say, that's it? That's all you want to do? You're wasting your life. You know why? Because feminism has crept into the church. We bought a bill of goods for a woman to be a woman. It's not good enough. It's second class. Because she has to be just like a man, do everything a man has to really be valuable in God's eyes. But beloved, let God be true and every man a liar. When God says in Titus chapter 2 that a woman, if she is discreet, chaste, homemaker, good, obedient to her own husband, we say, blessed be God that she wants to be a woman according to God's word. And so you ladies in here, don't let anybody tell you if you are a homemaker that you are doing second class work. That work is a privilege under God to do. And you are doing kingdom work. And when you change a baby's diaper, when you wash a toilet, God sees it. And you will not lose your reward. God sees it. Maybe no one else will see it. You won't get a plaque at work, but you will get God's approval. And so, why do marriage and marriage roles matter again? Again, it's so important that we do not stick at the mere, what I like to say sometimes, is the appetizer. You go to a restaurant, you get an appetizer, but you're really there for the main course. Why would there be no marriage in heaven? Because earthly marriage is the appetizer. Christ and the church is the main course. You don't need the appetizer anymore once you get the main course. And so all earthly marriage is pointing to is the marriage supper of the Lamb when Christ and his church come together in beautiful union. And so we want to portray, by the grace of God, if you're married or in the future you will be married, God willing, we want to portray to a lost, hurting, dying world that Christ leads his church in love. We want to teach the world by our life that Christ nourishes and cherishes his church. We want to teach the world that he loves the church as he loves his own body. We want to teach the world that Christ willingly laid down his life for the good of the church. And we want our ladies to teach the world that the church honors, respects, submits, and obeys Jesus Christ. We want the world to know that the church is a submissive bride. We want the world to know that the church is a bride that obeys her bridegroom. And this is what you do when you follow the roles that God has prescribed. So when people say, you know what, there is no such thing as submission, well, you want to say, does Christ submit to the church? Does Christ come under the headship of the church? Of course not. And these roles are pointing to the greater marriage, Christ and the church. And so if you're here again and not saved, may today be the day you come to repent and believe the gospel. And if you're here and you are married, may you reflect as a man or a woman, either Christ or the church. And if you're not married, may God give you the grace when you are married to be either the church, if you're a woman, or Christ, and if you're a man, modeling these relationships for the glory of God and for the good of his church. Amen.